If your business is tired of paying unpredictable and high phone bills, do what I did. Switch to Zoom Calls Cloud Business Phone Service. You'll pay the same low amount every month, no matter how many calls you have in the U.S. and Canada. And Zoom Calls has a really cool feature called voicemail drops. Whenever you reach someone's voicemail, just say hi and their name, and then click a couple of buttons on your phone to leave your pre-recorded message. It saves both your voice and your time. Check out ZoomCalls.com. That's ZoomCalls.com. I think you'll love it.
Attention, you're listening to the Todd Huff Radio Show, America's home for conservative, not bitter talk radio. Be advised that the content of this program has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism, and listening may cause you to lean to the right. Here's your conservative, but not bitter host, Todd Huff.
That is right. Day number 12 of the Democrat Party in crisis. My, oh my, it is completely coming apart in the Democrat Party. We'll talk about that, but I want to start today by talking about Roger Stone. I want to talk about calls or accusations of a two-tiered justice system. We touched on some of this yesterday, but I got into this in the second hour. So some of it's going to be not the same, but we're going to touch on the same things and elaborate on a couple of things because, of course, things have happened since then. Yesterday we had the soundbite of Bill Barr actually asking Trump to quit tweeting about some things, let him do his job. So we'll talk about all of this. Pelosi wants to investigate Eric Swalwell, who you may or may not know was running for president at one point in time. Yes, I am not making up names for people that ran for president for the Democrat Party, but he is a congressman from the crazy radical state of California. He's calling for the possibility of, yes, you guessed it, impeachment over the Roger Stone situation. And so all that to go through before we talk specifically about the Democrat Party in crisis day number 12, which includes, yes, 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 Bernie Sanders flying in first class. I tell you, you can't make this stuff up. I thoroughly enjoy watching the implosion of the party, watching the hypocrisy of the party, watching the double standard. Just the complete train wreck here as we watch, as we march towards the Nevada. Yes, I got that right, President Trump. Nevada caucus next Saturday. So welcome to the program. I am your host, Todd Huff. Email, as always, todd@toddhuffshow.com. You can send me your thoughts, questions, opinions. I welcome those, but I will tell you, make them count. Make the email, the message count. This is your chance, folks, to really maybe even motivate me to talk about something on this program. So I do welcome them, though, and I respond as quickly and as often as possible. It's always good to hear from you in all seriousness. But, yes, it's todd@toddhuffshow.com. Also, facebook.com/toddhuffshow for those that want to watch the program live or on demand, seeing that, yes, in fact, I do have a face for radio and I guess as long as Facebook allows it, you can go to that page and like it as well, helping us reach more people on that social platform. So I want to start with Roger Stone. We've talked a little bit about Roger Stone over the past couple of days, but not a lot, and not at the beginning. I wanted to start the program with this today. I almost didn't, but I think that this is an important thing that's happening. Yes, the election and politics and the Democrat Party's implosion, that's all important stuff to talk about because it's not supposed to be the way that this is supposed to happen, right? I mean, the Democrat Party is supposed to be effectively coronating their new leader at this point, right? They should have been, it should be a foregone conclusion. Trump has been attacked, maligned, assaulted, if you will, in the media for 4+ years now, ever since he came down that escalator in June, I think, of 2015, announcing his candidacy for president of the United States. And ever since that point in time, of course, it's gotten much, much, much worse. But since that point in time, Trump has become a target, because who dares run against the Democrat Party and the media and get away with it? So this is the political lay of the land is important, and we'll talk about that as the program comes together. But specifically with Roger Stone, I want to back up, and we touched on some of this yesterday, second hour. I want to touch on some of this again. Hannity is out there saying that the case should be dismissed overall. Sean Hannity said that the Roger Stone case should be thrown out immediately. I'm reading here in a Fox News article, his opening monologue last night on his program. He said that the case involving Trump associate Roger Stone was issuing an important warning to viewers about the unequal justice system prosecuting the high-profile case. Hannity says, please listen closely. You've got to understand right now, if you're conservative, if you're a Republican in the United States of America, you have every single right to feel that you are not being treated fairly, that the justice issued in this country is not equally applied. You have every right to feel that way, because it seems that in the United States on this night, only conservatives, only Republicans, and especially people that like Donald Trump can get prosecuted, all while Democrats in the deep state can pretty much do everything without consequence. So I want to talk about that idea. That's an idea out there. Let's back up and let's look at Roger Stone. The whole reason, and I touched on this yesterday, the whole reason that Roger Stone is even facing final sentencing here after a trial, which, by the way, was chaired by a four-woman, who is a hater of Donald Trump, right out there putting things on Facebook and social media, even about the Roger Stone case, as she was sitting four-person. Anyway, so the whole reason he's even facing any charges or, at this particular point, a sentence to begin with is because he was associated with President Donald J. Trump. Now, let that sink in for a moment. Let that sink in for a moment. You know, there's a concept in the law called the fruit of the poisonous tree. And this is not exactly that, but to some degree, because of the government's apparent overreach, or the government's abuse, you could say, of powers in this particular case, these sorts of things become they become a possible explanation for this. And so you have the Mueller team, who soon after Trump was inaugurated, not long after that, not far down the process, we had to get a special investigator to look into just how badly the Russians colluded with President Trump and stole the election from Hillary Clinton in 2016. Even though in the days leading up to the election, when Trump said the election was rigged, he was uniformly mocked, ridiculed, called a threat. This is the reason this guy can't, you know, be president. He's undermining our confidence in our election system. You remember all this. Of course, the days and weeks after Democrats lost that election in 2016, after they dried their tears and their Play-Doh dried up and they ran out of adult coloring books to cope with the Trump presidency, no more requests for service dogs were allowed, classes resumed on college campuses, they realized this guy really is president of the United States. We've got to deal with this. We've got to deal with this. We can't ignore this any longer. And so they went into action. They went into action. They started talking about impeachment. We've documented, as we have in our newsletter, which, by the way, you can subscribe to by texting Huff to 31996. Get a subscription to it's free email newsletter. But we documented, even back on the 11th day Trump was in office, there were calls for his impeachment. 11th day. Now, that means that the plan was hatched long before that, right? If they're talking about it on day 11, they're planning it on day negative 100 or whatever it was before Trump took office. So that's where this all started. Russian collusion. Robert Mueller was looking into it. And what they said was, you know, anything that we find along the way, we're going to pass off to people. We're not going to specifically take it ourselves as part of the Mueller team. We're going to pass it off to the proper authorities. So if we're digging up doing our investigation here, digging up information that leads us to believe another crime might have been broken or might have been committed, I should say. If that's the case, we're going to pass that off to the appropriate prosecutors. And that's what they did. That's what they did. Because remember, this thing had to be justified. And all they really want from the, well, they wanted it to get Trump removed from office. They wanted him to be ushered out in handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit, not to be confused with Hillary's orange pantsuit, but that's what they wanted. They wanted Trump to be ushered out of the White House. They knew that that was probably a stretch, but they thought, you know what, this can damage this guy quite a bit. This can stop him from being an effective president. This can stop his agenda. This can prevent him from undoing the things Obama did, which thankfully Trump was able to do, or the so-called Obama economy. The boom that we're facing, the boom that we're experiencing, I should say, wouldn't be allowed to happen. It's amazing to me how Obama timed that out. He didn't have any good economic, any economic news to speak of during his presidency. But just right as he left office, right as Trump came in and the new president actually did something that was the exact opposite of what he did, suddenly his economy took shape and took off like a rocket, right? That's what we're supposed to believe, I guess. But Mueller and his team's out there investigating. They find some stuff. They pass this information on to other district attorneys and so forth, and they prosecute. That's what happened ultimately to Paul Manafort. That's what happened to Roger Stone. And as I've said before, I'm not in the business of trying to, I don't know, to defend against people committing crimes and for people not to face consequences for said crimes. But it's incredibly important to point out that the whole reason that Roger Stone and Paul Manafort are facing the consequences that they're facing is because of the Russian investigation. Now, they were not charged with anything remotely close to Russian collusion or any of these other allegations that were set forth in the initial plan or objective, I suppose you could say, of the Mueller investigation. These things are completely unrelated, but the Mueller team wanted these convictions. They at least wanted these charges. They wanted to say, look how terrible these folks are. Everybody that we're investigating, and the media still does this. There's been convictions and plea bargains and 30-some people. Of course, they don't tell you that the vast majority, almost all of them, are people in Russia that they've named as people who were violating, you know, our election laws and so forth. They don't tell you that. They just want you to believe that Trump has a bunch of people that are convicted working with him. And I've always wondered, as I've said before, if Trump is as bad of a human being and politician and leader and so forth as they tell us that he is, why did he need to call up the Russians? Seems to me he would have had a cast of characters here in the United States that could have stolen the election for him, hacked the DNC server, whatever else they've accused him of doing, make Facebook and Pokemon Go ads that trick Democrats into voting for him in the key states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. It's a stupid narrative to begin with. But anyway, so this is where this all started from. So I got to pause and take a break. Oz is doing her job over here, notifying me that it is time to take a break. I want to come back after the break, pick up here, and connect a few dots, make a few more observations and comments related back to what Hannity said about a two-tiered justice system. This is a legitimate question that one could ask. Why are the only people that are being charged with anything people who are Republicans, conservatives, and or connected to Donald J. Trump? Why? Meanwhile, if you're Hillary Rodham Clinton, if you're, take your pick, any of these other cast of characters who have really, in many cases, been involved with the Clinton campaign, you can apparently get away scot-free with stuff. Anyway, we'll talk about that. That is not, I don't care political affiliations, that is not the way that justice works, my friend. I've got to take a break. We'll talk about this when we get back. You're listening to Conservative Not Better Talk. I am your host, Todd Huff, back in just a minute. Welcome back. By the way, I should mention here on this very cold, cold morning, not a fan of the cold here, but we will survive in central Indiana. 5 degrees or some such things when I looked this morning. But it's a good time to mention that this program is brought to you in part by the good folks at Economy Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Jod and his team have been advertisers on this program, and we were just starting out back, almost... Wow, we're over 3 years now. Although 3.5 years. We started at 2 a.m., believe it or not, 2 a.m. on Freedom 95 in Indianapolis. Now, of course, in morning drive there and in Utah as well. But they started with us in the beginning at 2 a.m. So if you're concerned about your furnace's ability to keep up, have issues, questions about that, consider contacting the folks at Economy Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For more information, visit their website, economyheatingandair.com. That's economyheatingandair.com for those of you in central Indiana. So, talking about Roger Stone, and I mentioned a concept. I mentioned something first segment, fruit of the poisonous tree. Now, the concept here with the fruit of the poisonous tree in legal proceedings and court cases, it basically says if evidence is, I don't know, if evidence is collected or obtained, I guess you could say, illegally, then it's not really, it's not admissible. That's the first part. But it's not just that. Anything else that you gain from the evidence, if the evidence leads you to something else that you wouldn't have normally been aware of or been able to connect the dots on, then you're not allowed to do that as well. Now, I'm not saying that this fits the Roger Stone case fits this to a T. Maybe it does. I'm not an attorney, but I do know this. I do know this, that the Mueller investigation all came as a result of this nonsensical rhetoric on Russian collusion. This Russian collusion stupidity started from a Russian dossier, a fake, phony, made-up dossier written by Christopher Steele, paid for indirectly through the Clinton campaign, was then given as evidence to the FISA court. Remember all this with Carter Page and spying? Yes, they spied on Carter Page. Don't let them pull a quick one on you here. Spying and surveillance, same thing. I mean, the FISA court, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, surveillance, synonymous with spying. The whole thing, it's not whether or not they spied on Carter Page. It's whether or not they were legally justified in so doing. And so if it's predicated on a dossier that's made up, if that's the rationale, a big part of it, or perhaps the complete justification for issuing said FISA warrant, then all this stuff started, this all started from corruption to begin with. This is an abuse, if this is accurate, if this depiction I just painted is accurate, it's an abuse. And so the Mueller investigation stemmed from this Russian dossier, this from the FISA warrant, which stemmed from the Russian dossier, which when argued before the judge, the FISA court judge, was cited as the rationale, maybe the sole rationale. We really still don't. We don't know. These things are all secretive. Shh, don't tell anybody. Quiet. The vast majority, you walk in there and you request a FISA warrant, it's a very, very, very high likelihood that you get that FISA warrant. It's 90-some percent. I think I saw 97, 90-something. 90-some percent that you get that. And so we know that they at least cited something that shouldn't have been cited. Not real evidence, phony made-up stuff, political hit piece on President Trump, funded by the Clinton campaign. So from that came Mueller. From Mueller came these other allegations made against Roger Stone, for which he's now been found guilty by a jury of his, well, you could say peers, but the jury forewoman was a major supporter of anything not Donald J. Trump. And you could definitely make – not just someone that didn't vote for him, someone who was vociferous in her opposition, her hatred for President Trump, even posting about Roger Stone case as she was sitting on the jury as the foreperson. I mean, it's, if you're to believe these reports, I mean, it's crazy stuff. So now, in saying all of that, you get back to Hannity last night, who says that this case should be thrown out because of all this nonsensical stuff that we've just gone through. Now, again, as I've said before, if someone's committed a crime, then they're, I'm not justifying the crime. But if the government is being used, think about this. If the government is being used as an instrument to politically harm, or to harm your political enemies, I should say, legally, to legally go after your political enemies. If that is the situation that we have created, or that our government has created in the so-called deep state, whatever you want to call it, if that is in fact the case, totally reprehensible, totally inexcusable, it has to stop. I don't care, again, Democrats shouldn't be targeted. Conservatives, Republicans, Libertarians, doesn't matter. Green Party members. This has to stop. This, you talk about undermining confidence in the system of government. You talk about corruption at its core. You talk about the consequences of a government that's gone completely out of its mind. This is it. And so, to then tie into some of these other current events, when Trump's Department of Justice, comes out and says, hey, the sentencing requirements or the sentencing recommendations made by the prosecution, the prosecuting team, which of course those four attorneys have now stepped aside or whatever in protest to the DOJ coming in and saying this. But the DOJ says, hey, this is the recommended sentence of 7 to 9 years, way too much. Way too much to be levied against Roger Stone. That can't be what we allow to have happen here, because that is, that just doesn't make any sense. That's too harsh. Hannity, and I wanted to make sure I credited him for pointing this out last night, but Hannity said, as of 2018, we're talking about the 9-year sentence recommended for Roger Stone. As of 2018, the median time served for murder was 13.4 years. The median time for murder was 13.4 years, and they want to give Roger Stone 9 years for his crime. The median time for rape, 4.2 years, and they want to give Roger Stone 9 years. Twice the amount of time, folks. Twice the amount of time that a rapist serves on average for their crime. Robbery, 3.2 years. Assault, again, Hannity's the one that pointed this out last night. Assault, 1.4 years. Now prosecutors are recommending 9 years for Roger Stone for lying. You want the guy to die in jail. That's basically it. That's what Hannity said last night. This sort of thing can't go on. This, the Department of Justice should, if these numbers are correct, should step in and say, wait a minute, this is disproportionate. This is not seeking justice. This is seeking vengeance for someone who had the audacity to stand against you politically and to try to campaign for the other guy. And oh, by the way, that other guy whooped you in 2016. I don't care that Hillary won the popular vote. She knew going in that what wins elections is electoral votes. She lost. She can't blame Russia. She can't blame Comey. Donald J. Trump and his team beat her fair and square, and they can't cope with it. And there needs to be consequences, because who would dare have the nerve? Who would dare have the nerve to run against Hillary Clinton, the rightful owner, the owner of this office of President of the United States? Who has the audacity to do that? They want to send a message for anyone else in the future who may come along and support Trump or possibly run against established politicians as well. They want this to be clearly identified. The deep state is not going to go away, just walk away without trying to take vengeance on these folks. This is reprehensible. This is a problem. This needs to be addressed. And I've got to take a break. When we get back, I want to shift gears, talk about the Democrat Party in crisis. And there's a lot of crisis in the party. A lot of crisis in the party. We'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Conservative Not Better Talk. I'm your host, Todd Huff. Back in just a minute. Welcome back. As I'm sitting here during the break, I realized there was one other thing I wanted to get to pertaining to this this case against Stone. And, of course, now we're talking about Bill Barr and the justice system because the DOJ has stepped in and said, wait a minute. This is well out of bounds. This is not exactly this isn't the right thing to do here. This recommended sentence is way too high. And so this is queuing up a soundbite here. Bear with me. So I want to make sure I get to this because I mentioned this off the top, and I want to share it if you've not heard it. So Barr is out there kind of defending it, saying Trump didn't order us to do this. This is just something that during our review of this, we realized that this is disproportionate, not justifiable. Again, this has been motivated. This has been motivated by political vengeance. Again, I think you can say that without saying if someone's found guilty of a crime that you can excuse the crime. But this whole thing, we are here now at this point because Roger Stone was associated with Trump and the Trump campaign, and they were targeted with this phony Russian collusion stuff. That is what got us here. And that should sicken every single American. Again, you can say that, I think, without defending a crime, any crime that's been committed along the way. But to realize they're only being investigated because of a phony Russian hoax. And now the guy is being recommended, you know, that they're recommending, they did originally, 9 years in prison. And the Justice Department said, no, that's too much. And now, of course, this is considered something that needs to be investigated, as Nancy Pelosi's telling us. Eric Swalwell out there, again, ran for president. No, I'm not making up names of people who ran for president. I think he was in the race for about 19 minutes, maybe 20. I'm not sure. I have to check the records. But this guy, political hack, out there saying that he's not taking impeachment off the table as it pertains to this Roger Stone Department of Justice situation that we've been talking about today. So I want to play this soundbite from Bill Barr. He's on ABC News, and he's explaining, well, he's got some things to say here, talking about Trump's tweets as well. I want you to hear this.
Have public statements and tweets made about the department, about our people in the department, our men and women here, about cases pending in the department, and about judges before whom we have cases, make it impossible for me to do my job and to assure the courts and the prosecutors in the department that we're doing our work with integrity.
Mr. Barr, the president does not like to be told what to do. He may not like what you're saying. Are you prepared for those ramifications?
Of course. As I said during my confirmation, I came in to serve as Attorney General. I am responsible for everything that happens in the department, but the thing I have most responsibility for are the issues that are brought to me for decision. And I will make those decisions based on what I think is the right thing to do, and I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody. And I said at the time, whether it's Congress, newspaper, editorial boards, or the president, I'm going to do what I think is right. And, I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary that undercuts me.
There you go. So he's out there talking about the background commentary, which I'm sure has to be a little bit frustrating and distracting when you're getting tweets. And yes, I saw these tweets yesterday that Trump sent out about Fredo Cuomo, this whole fight over the height of Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Trump's now calling him Mini Mike. So, yes, and I've got friends that find this absolutely, utterly entertaining, sending me stuff via Twitter, via text, making sure I saw certain things, certain videos, and so forth. It's an altogether different topic. I don't want to go down that road today. But if you haven't seen it, it is, I don't know, it's unique to where we are in 21st century politics, to say the least. But here's Bill Barr saying, look, I'm going to do what I think is best. I want to pause real quick, and I got to take a break in a second, but I want to pause real quick and say, it seems to me that these folks in the media, they forget that the Attorney General actually works for the president. He's part of the, he or she's part of the executive branch. Of course, the Attorney General can say, I'm going to do what I think is right, and the president can say, that's fine, get lost, and then we can go through the process of replacing an Attorney General, you know, that has to be approved by the Senate and so forth. But anyway, Barr says, look, it's a little frustrating. It's a little difficult to do my job when I'm having a constant narrative in the background running on Twitter and so forth. And it complicates matters. But it doesn't change some facts that say that, yes, this is, we find this to be out of line, this recommended sentence against Roger Stone. We're trying to clean this stuff up. And yes, he is right. If this is in fact political vengeance, this has no place. My goodness, you shouldn't have to say this in 2020 to a supposedly very intelligent and wise nation, a nation that's been built upon some very solid foundational truths. You shouldn't have to tell people that our system of justice is where it has no place for political vengeance to be carried out. Anyway, got to take a break. Now, when we get back, we're going to talk about the state of the Democrat Party, day 12 of a Democrat Party in crisis. Get to that and all sorts of things that are coming unraveled for the Democrats. Not the way it was supposed to be. So we'll start that when we get back. You're listening to Conservative Not Bitter Talk. I am your host, Todd Huff. Yes, this is Radio Safe Space. Be back in just a minute. Welcome back. Here we are, day number 12 of a Democrat Party in crisis. I tell you, this is, have you seen Bernie? Bernie was caught flying in first class. Have you seen this? I'm going to post this on Facebook if you haven't seen this. It is worth looking at. This is in The Sun. I saw this on Drudge last night or this morning. Headline says, cheeks burning, that's B-E-R-N-I-N-G, man of the people Bernie Sanders looks sheepish as he flies first class. This is exactly, by the way, these holier-than-thou socialists, this is exactly what happens to be the case. They need the rest of us fit into one category. And I guess by virtue of them saving us from the elites in our country, they get the perks. They get the perks of flying first class. Of course, I don't know what the climate change crowd has to say about this, but a man's flying in first class, flying. My son would know all about this. My son's an aviation nut. The kid knows airplanes. They can be flying at 10,000 feet overhead, and he'd tell me, hey, Dad, look at that. That's a, without the aid of FlightAware or any of that stuff, Dad, that's an Embraer 175. And can probably tell me the whatever else comes after that. Anyway, this is actually an Embraer 175, American Eagle first class. This gentleman by the name of Hank Thomas he's in first class. He's a businessman. And sitting back over his left shoulder, looks like one or two rows back, is Bernie Sanders sitting in the corner of first class, looking, well, just exactly as you would expect Bernie to look. He's looks like he's a little disheveled back there in the corner. Looks terrified. It's like he knows, I shouldn't be sitting up here. I need to be sitting back there with the people. This is not going to look good for me. Of course, I don't think it matters. His crowd's probably going to be down with anything Bernie says at this point because they've bought this hook, line, and sinker that Bernie is just one of the regular Joes out there. Remember when Bernie wrote that book and it sold and Bernie made a lot of money? And he was asked about his status as being a millionaire or whatever such thing. And he said, well, you know, if you write a best-selling book, you basically ought to be able to enjoy, I guess, the benefits. You should reap the rewards of doing so. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said, which is ironic to me because isn't that the truth for anyone who's risen to millionaire status? You realize most people in this country are first-generation millionaires. I don't even know if millionaire even means as much as it did, obviously, at some point in time, but it's the vast majority. I know Ramsey always cites the stat of 90% of millionaires are first-generation millionaires. I think that came from, I'm looking up on my bookshelf over here, The Millionaire Next Door. I've got that book up there somewhere. I think that comes from that study, The Millionaire Next Door. 90%, I think it could have been another study, but 90% are first-generation millionaires. So I don't know why it's okay for Bernie to become a millionaire off of a book, if that's really even the case. And why, if you have a plumbing company, if you started a window washing company, if you started a, heck, maybe even a financial firm. Oh my goodness, even an evil financial firm. If you make your own money, what, even if you don't, even if you've inherited it, why is it Bernie's job to come along and say you don't deserve that, you shouldn't have that, all this kind of stuff? Why is this Bernie's business? Bernie thinks it is. And I've got no problem, for the record, with Bernie making money off of selling some stupid book. Now, I mean, I have thoughts about that. Why would someone buy this stupid thing? Why would someone really think that this is worth reading? Why does someone buy into the nonsense and the depravity of socialism? I don't know. But I find it ironic at best to find the Democratic candidate frontrunner who's out there telling the rest of the world that we need a revolution. It's not just that we need any more social programs. No, we need a revolution. We need to change the very fundamental, basic, foundational principles of this great country. That's what Bernie's out there yelling, and he yells into the microphone. Hair a mess, lurched over, blaming someone else for the problems of those in the attendance that day. He's caught back here in first class, and I'm going to post this picture because I got to tell you, it is perfect. He looks like he's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar, because that's exactly what's happened here. Again, front runner. New polls show that Bernie's up to like 29%. He's up 10 points nationally over the next nearest competitors, which include Biden at 19 and Bloomberg at 18. So whatever you want to make of that. But he's the front runner. He's the socialist. He wants the revolution. But apparently he still wants the first class, just like all the other elites of socialism. Do as I say, not as I do. Got to take a break. You're listening to Conservative Not Better Talk. I'm your host, Todd Huff. Back in just a minute. Gentlemen, today is Valentine's Day. Be sure to tell your wife, girlfriend, significant other, happy Valentine's Day. Just a public service to the men listening today in this audience. But, you know, just really quickly here, this whole concept of Bernie flying first class is just preposterous to me. I mean, this guy should probably just be taking the train, him and Joe Biden, taking the train around the country. Whatever's the most proletariat class thing he could come up with. It's definitely not flying first class. Remember, this guy is calling for an economic revolution. He wants the end of capitalism, folks. Anyway, talk more about this on the other side of the hour. For those that are leaving us, SDGC Monday. Take care.